Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Everyone, welcome to the Run and Plays podcast presented by Wendy's. Wendy's has a breakfast worth talking about, and with this menu, you can't let anyone miss out. Go tell somebody about Wendy's breakfast, available at participating Wendy's.
Now, Grant, you know how much I love breakfast and eggs.
You do, and you love Wendy's. So what a treat having you on. I might as well introduce you then. I'm Grant Liffman, and filling in for Kareth Burke is none other than Drew Schiller. So should we say that the Running Plays podcast is now being taken over by the Warriors Outsiders, at least for an episode?
This is a hostile takeover. I realized that it's just the right time for this to happen. And here we are, because there actually is a decent amount of stuff to talk about when it comes to the Warriors. So I cannot believe the powers that be is allowing this to happen.
Correct.
You and me actually having to look at each other again.
Correct.
On Zoom here. But, you know, I have to admit, I kind of have missed your face. And so here we are. But now I'm already sick of it. We're like a minute in.
It happened really quick. And, I'm going to definitely have a talk with my agent after this to make sure this never happens again. But let's talk about the Warriors. What do you say?
Smart. They're a team that I believe is still a team.
Yeah, they are, despite the fact we haven't seen them in about 4 years. So, Drew, let's start with this one. And you wrote an article about this, and this was Steve Kerr's quotes. And I'll let you go from here. But he pretty much says the Warriors roster is far from finished.
Yeah, I think my reaction to that would be, duh.
Right.
And Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, they know this. And these were quotes that Steve Kerr gave to Tim Kawakami of The Athletic. And look, everyone knows that the Warriors are going to make some upgrades to the roster this offseason. We still are a little bit unsure about how significant those upgrades can be, simply because of the financial situation. We don't know yet how aggressive the Warriors can be when it comes to using all or even just some of that $17.2 million traded player exception, the $6 million taxpayer mid-level exception. And then in theory, they might have one or two veteran minimum contracts that they can use. But we know that they already have some significant salaries on the books.
Right.
And depending on where the luxury tax and salary cap is set for next season, which we still don't know that yet either at this point. Can you believe it's what, October 8th here, and we still don't have answers to some of this stuff? Hopefully we get it in the coming weeks. But they also have the number two pick in the draft. So
that small thing.
There's a lot to figure out here still.
Yeah. And I mean, also, by the way, Steph Curry also had comments to Bleacher Report where he was saying they need more talent on the roster and blah, blah, blah. It's interesting because not many times you actually hear a coach and the star player actually verbally say, we need a better roster. You'd actually don't hear that very often. But this is a very unique situation. I think everyone
can understand. Pressure, Bob Myers.
Yeah, exactly. No, but like, what a weird situation to go from maybe one of the best teams in the history of the NBA. You have one bad year because everyone's hurt and things are in transition. And all of a sudden, you're the team that's going, oh, we were bad. We need to get a lot better. And it's like, yeah, those expectations are now set for the Golden State Warriors to be a title contender. It's not like, we need to get our roster good enough to be, you know, we want to try to get into the playoffs. No. That's not what's happening right now. Even though, I mean, technically speaking, that should be one of their goals, considering the Western Conference is stacked.
Yes, it is. But I believe it was on this podcast back in August when executive vice president of basketball operations slash water boy, Kirk Lacob, said that the Warriors 100% will be title contenders next season.
Ooh, baby.
And the word that he used that I really liked was ammo. He said the Warriors have a lot of ammo to use this offseason to get better and to immediately vault back into not just a team that can compete for the championship, but truly contend.
Yeah.
As of right now, it's way too early to even try to project, you know, who the eight Western Conference playoff teams will be, who's going to be in the top four. The preliminary discussion really includes the Lakers, Clippers, and then the Warriors and Nuggets, I would say probably are the two teams that that people think will be in that top four. But it's, look, we got to see what happens with the draft. We got to see what happens in free agency before we can start to really project and make predictions that we probably will be wrong about. So yeah
I mean, it is what it is often. So you and I make, you know, not predictions, but hypotheticals every now and then, because people, it's fun sometimes to talk about hypothetical trades, and we do it.
It's all we can do right now.
It's, and you and I do it off air a lot because, you know, you mess around with just different ideas, but I put this out there and I think you and I are on the same page about this. Well, first of all, we're definitely on the same page that we think there's a very, 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 very low chance any of these stars are traded before the season starts. And
oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Okay. But more importantly, I'm looking at the Warriors situation. We do not know – I mean, we don't know what the cap numbers are, and we're going to talk about that. But I genuinely believe that potentially their best shot at being a contender next season is bringing in, if they can, a really good player that maybe not wouldn't have necessarily been able to be attainable on the mid-level exception, but they are able to get them. Able to bring in a good player – on the TPE, and then keeping their assets. Now, I'm saying you don't necessarily have to keep and trade at two or pick at two. You could trade down and kind of get other draft picks in there. But otherwise, you keep Andrew Wiggins, you keep draft picks, you get MLE, you get TPE, you get, you know, minimum contracts. And that's a really good team. Because if we're talking, I was just talking to, and we're going to play this in a little bit. I want to play an answer from Tom Haberstroh. And we're talking about, actually, you know what, Drew? Let's play this answer from Tom Haberstroh right now. I asked Tom Haberstroh, looking at next season, the caveat, everyone is healthy. Who's going to be better? Who would you favor, the Warriors or Lakers? Take a listen.
If Klay Thompson is fully healthy, as in he is pre-ACL injury healthy and not just getting back onto the floor and able to play, if Klay Thompson is before injury Klay Thompson, I'm going to go with the Golden State Warriors here because their big three, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Stephen Curry, are better than the big three of Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and fill in the blank there. So I think just in terms of the core, they fit better next to each other. We already know that they won 73 games without Kevin Durant. So there is a track record in the regular season. Obviously, they've won a couple titles together in the postseason. So for me, next season, fully healthy, I'm going to go with the Golden State Warriors because of that flexibility and the fact that there's three elite players. And I just don't know if you can say the same with the Los Angeles Lakers with their big two. But it's going to be super close. I mean, obviously, their track record this season, just plowing through the playoffs in the bubble, it's hard to bet against them. But if you're going to guarantee the health of Klay Thompson's knee and Draymond Green being in great shape and Stephen Curry's hand not bothering him, I'm going to go with the Golden State Warriors here.
Okay, so you heard the answer from Tom, and
I never would have expected him to say the Warriors over the Lakers when talking to somebody who works with the Warriors. I would have never expected that.
He's usually pretty honest about stuff. He's been, you know, he doesn't cater to anybody. But
no, of course not.
He says the big three for the Warriors, definitely, you know, he just favors them because you look at the big two of the Lakers, and then after that, what do you got, right? And if both teams modestly improve, again, not trading for Giannis, I do understand that argument because not only do the Warriors have the big three, but Andrew Wiggins is their fourth.
Yeah.
The Lakers right now in the postseason, their third highest scorer is Kyle Kuzma at 10.5 points per game. Yeah. That's an issue when you're playing teams with like really good depth. So yes. My point is that I understand why people want to throw these big trades and make it all fun and sexy. But at the end of the day, sometimes the most prudent moves is no move at all.
Yeah. I mean, let's just get to this right now. Giannis, clearly people are still waiting to hear what happens with him in Milwaukee. All indications right now seem to point to him playing for the Bucks next season. Now, does he sign the extension here in November? Or does he just say, okay, I'm going to play out this final year of my contract and then determine the future? After Giannis, it's Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Everyone has been looking at the Sixers to see what they're going to do. And based on what Doc Rivers said during his introductory press conference in Philadelphia earlier this week, they're not trading either one of those players. They're just not.
At least before the season.
Correct. They are going to allow Doc to have a chance to make it work. And Doc said that they have two young stars and his job is to take them to the next level. So Warriors fans, do not hold your breath and expect the Warriors to be able to acquire either one of those guys before the season starts. Oh, well, unless one of them just says, no, I'm out. Like,
well, Embiid could do that. He's restless, and you can see every now and then he does these subliminal tweets that go like, is he?
Yes, but then again, they seem to be related to endorsement things that he is doing with Mountain Dew and right. whatever. But could things go south in Philadelphia quickly next season and before the trade deadline? The Sixers start making some calls and say, hey, anybody want to, you know, make an offer for either player? But it would be shocking if that happened before next season. So therefore, as you said, the Warriors most likely will go into next season with the 10 players who are currently under contract. I think everyone kind of knows who those 10 are. Should we just list them? Should we name them?
Well, okay. I mean, you're this bold by saying you think there's at least 10 that are like are automatics for next season.
Okay. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, Kevon Looney.
That's five.
Five right there. Marquese Chris.
Yeah.
Damian Lee.
Mm-hmm. Eric Paschal.
Jordan Poole. Allen Smiley.
Okay.
Guys that are under contract, guaranteed contract. Well, actually, Marquise still and Damian are not. They're not fully guaranteed for all of next season. But let's just say, let's assume that it's those 10.
Okay. And I'm just saying there are a few people in there, a few players that if the Warriors feel like they're not even close to ready to produce at a high level and they feel like they can bring in a minimum contract that is ready to help them right now, they're not going to be gun shy and be like, we'll just keep you around. No, they're going to upgrade the roster as much as possible.
Agreed, but the Warriors are not giving up on Allen Smiley-Geach after one incomplete season. That's not happening.
I'm just saying that everything is an option out there.
Meaning that they could possibly try to trade those guys to someone?
Right. Or do something. They could do something. But I'm saying, like, there's a good seven to eight guys that are absolute fixtures on this team right now.
Okay. But if for this exercise, let's say those,
which so, by the way, I would say 80-90% chance that it is those 10 that are solidified unless there's a trade.
Yeah, I would say a little higher than 80-90, but whatever, not important. Then let's also assume that the Warriors start next season with only 14 guaranteed contracts because they probably will want to leave that 15th roster spot open for flexibility because they want to be able to possibly sign someone in the buyout market after the trade deadline. Plus, they also probably want to try to save a little money by not having that 15th guaranteed roster spot. So that means that there are four spots available. The Warriors have the number 2 overall pick in the draft. They also have picks 48 and 51 in the second round. But those picks, if they keep them, could end up being guys that are on two-way contracts. So let's just assume they make a pick at number 2. That's 11. Let's assume that they do acquire somebody with the TPE.
That's somebody. Probably, it could be two people.
It could, but that would be two separate trades. Yeah. And
It's possible. Sure. That's what I'm saying. It's possible.
It is possible. Yes,
they
it
could
is.
Take on a $4 million contract in one, a small little move, and then they can take on an $8 million contract in another, and it'd be like, all right, these two are on our team now. Yeah.
Right. But if we just assume they only do one trade, that puts us at 12 roster spots. Let's say they use the taxpayer mid-level exception. Mm-hmm. That puts us at 13. And then they sign one player to a minimum contract. Monty Poole just recently wrote about Kent Bazemore, Justin Holiday, two former Warriors. So boom, right there, that's 14 spots.
And all of a sudden, all the names that a lot of Warriors fans like are now, are they competing for a spot or are they just out? You're talking about Kai Bowman, who I really like. I think Kai Bowman has a future in the league. You have Michael Mulder, Juan Toscano-Anderson, and you have these guys competing for probably what is two-way spots at that point, which can work. But I also know that the Warriors are high on somebody like Michael Mulder, and they like Michael Mulder. There was rumors there for a second that Jonathan Simmons could have been an option, but it looks like he's going overseas, even though he can still technically join the NBA with a guaranteed contract, et cetera. So as you're saying, Drew, there's a roster crunch.
There's a roster crunch if you are seriously thinking that the names you just said, Bowman, Mulder, Juan Toscano-Anderson, truly have a shot to make the team next season. And I think that it's a long shot. I think the Warriors are going to be looking to improve the roster via the mechanisms that we just discussed. Right. So I think it's going to be very tough for those players. But you never know. They could stay within the franchise with two-way contracts. Then again, we don't even know what's really going to happen with two-way contracts, because what's going to happen with the G League next season? Right. So it's going to be interesting.
It's realistic that, with salary issues right now and financial, I don't know if this would happen, but it's realistic if the G League doesn't happen that they would expand the rosters on the NBA side. But then again, that increases payroll. It's
the G League is going to happen, but they just need to figure out the travel component of it all. So yeah, the NBA, everyone working in the league office deserves raises. It's just incredible.
So, the fact is, let's say there are four spots that they're trying to fill.
Sure.
I mean, there's so many names that Warriors fans want. Right. Yeah. There's so many names being thrown out there that is just, and there's something so key to talk about here. And I mentioned this last time when I had Monty Poole on earlier this week, is that the idea of trading away Andrew Wiggins, and you have these trades for Miles Turner happening now and all these hypotheticals. Remember, you just named 10 guys. How many of those guys are true wings?
Exactly. Right?
And with four spots to fill, how can you guarantee that you're going to get enough wings? And as Steph Curry said, they need to get more athletic. They need to get, just bigger and better and faster.
Yes.
And you don't have many spots to do that with the same roster you had before, pretty much. So stop trying to trade away Andrew Wiggins unless you're getting a big star, because they need his size. They need his athleticism. They need that position. They need all those things. So
correct.
And personally, I've said it multiple times, I'd be super disappointed if I didn't even get a chance to see what Andrew Wiggins could do with the other three guys. At this point, we've talked about it so much that I'm just like, I want to see it.
Imagine yourself saying that 10 months ago. I will be so disappointed if I do not get to see how Andrew Wiggins meshes with Steph, Clay, and Draymond.
Oh, okay, go back.
I just won't be able to sleep at night.
Go back. 14 months and me saying, I need to see D'Angelo Russell with, by the way,
man, remember when we sat down with him in Vegas, that was 5 years ago.
Yeah. 5 years ago. Oh no, actually that was last July.
Remember there was an earthquake when we were there.
Yeah. Not only that, you and I sat down with Willie Cauley-Stein. We've had sit downs with DeMarcus Cousins there, D'Angelo Russell.
Basically, whenever we talk to people in
Vegas,
the
kiss of death
doesn't really work out.
Patrick McCaw, Jordan Bell, Damian Jones. Oh man, did we just realize
what happens in Vegas does not stay in Vegas?
To be fair, though, Eric Paschal's our guy still. Jordan Poole's our guy. We're still cool. We're still cool. Don't worry. We're still in. We're still trying to think. Did we kiss of death anyone else?
Anybody else?
wow.
Ron Adams is no longer sitting on the front of the bench.
Ron, why isn't Ron on this pod right now? Should we just call Ron and see if he'll just drop in?
He's drinking wine somewhere, just having a great time.
Do you think Ron knows how to use Zoom?
Yes, simply because he's been forced to during the pandemic. Because we know that the Warriors coaching staff, they still are very much communicating and they're doing it through this. All right. Ring Central as well.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Wendy's.
They do it through Wendy's.
Wendy's breakfast. True. You love breakfast. You love breakfast.
You do. I do.
So we just broke down the Warriors roster. We also, by the way, do not know the Warriors coaching staff next year. You have someone like Mike Brown just interviewed for Los Angeles Clippers. So is it Los Angeles Clippers or LA Clippers?
So they're the branding, they want it to be LA Clippers.
Right.
And I don't know if that's like if they've legally changed their name.
Right.
But that I know is something they want. They want to be called the LA Clippers because it's the Los Angeles Lakers.
Right.
And they want to be different. So I would go with the LA Clippers.
Okay.
So if Mike Brown ends up getting that job, which I wouldn't rule that out at all, by the way.
It's possible.
It's definitely possible. If that happens, that's a big void to fill for the Warriors because he's their associate head coach, and they will not be bringing back Alvin Gentry,
right?
Who was the associate head coach for the Warriors in 2015 when they won the championship, because he just got hired by the Sacramento Kings. So he's now Luke Walton's top assistant. So that's a domino that could fall, and that will be a position that people will definitely be talking about because, the Warriors could use someone with a, creative offensive mind as they move forward here. And they also need to improve the defense too.
I can tell already that Drew is on record predicting that Mike D'Antoni will be the associate head coach of the Golden State Warriors.
That truly would be wild.
It would be considering Steve Kerr fired him with the Suns. So for Alvin Gentry.
For Gentry.
Yeah, exactly. But I doubt that.
Blatt.
I like David Blatt. He got a rough.
A raw deal, I believe.
Raw deal. Rough gig, raw deal. Sure. All right, going back, Mike Brown definitely right now, a lot of people assume Ty Lue is still the favorite over there. We don't know.
There are still five jobs that are open. What are people waiting for?
What are people waiting for?
Doc Rivers going to Philly was supposed to be kind of the big domino.
Right.
And then from there, the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Thunder, the Pacers, the Houston Rockets would then kind of zero in. And I mean,
it's not like they're waiting for like Vogel or Spo out of the finals and then being like, all right, let's get him.
Ty Lue at this point seems to be the tipping point.
Right.
I mean, if he goes to New Orleans because of David Griffin being there, then that could change things. Houston, I mean, you just really wonder. I know Kenny Atkinson just interviewed there.
I think Kenny Atkinson deserves a job.
He definitely does. He got a raw deal in Brooklyn. Yeah. That's just going to be wild to see because Daryl Morey clearly wants to play a certain way. James Harden has been mentally trained to play a certain way, but we also know the Rockets probably need to tweak that a little bit in order to finally get over the hump. So that'll be a really intriguing job. And then Jeff Van Gundy is a guy who's been connected with multiple jobs. So I want things to happen.
Let me ask you this. Okay. I'm going to ask you it anyway, even if you say
please.
No.
Please do.
You're on this pod. I get to ask the question.
Say hi to Nancy for me.
Oh, did you hear her, the caller?
I heard a
caller in the background? Yeah. Okay, Drew. If the Brooklyn Nets get healthy next season with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and they're a pretty stacked roster. If the Warriors get healthy.
DeAndre Jordan.
And the Warriors get healthy next year.
Mm-hmm.
If for some just cosmic reason those two teams face each other in the finals, could it be one of the more anticipated, like, just finals of all time? Like, would it be – I don't know if there would be a finals that would have more storylines. than that?
Well, I mean, based on the way NBA ratings are going right now, maybe there'd only be – no, that we could actually spend 30 minutes talking about that. We're not going to for various reasons. That would be – you now have me, like, openly – I'm. You need to tweet that, by the way. You got to get that out there now, that would be something that the world deserves.
Highly anticipated – finals matchup. And now, don't get me wrong, I don't know NBA history to the level of other people do, but with social media as it is now and everything, it just feels like the anticipation of seeing the matchup in the finals between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green and Steph and Kyrie going at it, and it would be
needs to happen,
and Steve Nash being the head coach, it'd be fantastic.
We deserve this.
Like, no one's paying money right now to say, you know, forget that. I want to see Jazz against the Raptors.
It'd be pretty great to see Warriors versus the Bucks as well. That'd be a good one. But that would – no. Look, you know who wants the Warriors to play the Nets in the 2021 NBA Finals?
Everyone.
The people at the National Basketball Association.
True.
That would –
I mean, they'd also like LeBron and the Lakers against Kevin Durant and the Nets as well. They would be happy with that.
They would. But you could absolutely make the argument that the Warriors are a bigger television draw than the Lakers.
I mean, worldwide for sure at this point.
I mean, the Lakers are obviously a global brand.
No. I'm just saying you can make the argument worldwide right now that what the Warriors did. I mean, in the past, that would have been one of the dumbest comments I could possibly make. The Lakers are the bigger brand. I mean, even the New York Knicks are sometimes a bigger brand than the Warriors are. It's just that's just how it works. But yeah, I need to, I guess, put that out in the Twitter sphere and say.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing earth-shattering because yes, Kevin Durant playing against the Warriors would be would be amazing on a gazillion levels. It will be something to follow with the Nets and what they do with their roster, though. Right. I mean, there's talk about them needing to add a third star. Some people say, well, I think Caris LeVert can be that guy. Right. Spencer Dinwiddie's really good. Jared Allen's really good. That's a team that if they can listen to Steve Nash, which is a big if based on what Kyrie Irving has been saying.
Right.
Is Steve Nash the head coach?
Fair. I don't know. At this point, I don't know if anyone is, Drew.
Yeah, no, they're all on any given day.
Any given night, you know, you can be a head coach. Yeah. By the way, one free agent for them that I thought had no chance of coming to the Warriors just because he'd be outpriced for them. Joe Harris, now with financial restrictions and everything out there right now, I mean, if they somehow were able to get him on the MLE, he would be an absolute dream addition, I think, to the Warriors as well.
So let me ask you that then. Do you think that he, regardless of position, would be the number one dream scenario?
No, not number one. I think number one, obviously, I mean, these
people, I don't think it's obvious what you're about to say.
Serge Ibaka, I think, is easily.
Oh, okay. Serge. Okay.
Yeah. I would say Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, I would agree.
Fits them absolutely, ideally, perfectly, and that's exactly who they'd want. I think Danilo Gallinari would be a huge one for them as well. I think they would love him. There's people that are just clearly outpriced for what they're doing. But when I look at someone like Joe Harris, I say, could it be wise for him to give the financial ramifications a year and just be in a situation where he'd be highly valuable and highly used in a system like that and look great, potentially in a playoff run, going into free agency again? And someone like him could potentially take that deal being like, I can use this as leverage. And that's the truth for a lot of these players. For an Aaron Baines, for instance, who probably wouldn't have been.
That's where I was going to go, but finish.
Yeah. Aaron Baines is the type of person that like would not have been capable to be got at MLE before. He probably was in line for a 3-year, $30 million deal or something like that. But now you're at a point where it's like, is Aaron Baines able to just come in, put up big numbers and look great with the Golden State Warriors and go into next season, not this next season, the following season, and get that big deal?
I mean, let's be honest. Every single Warriors fan, every single person who covers the Warriors via podcasting, writing, whatever. Each week, you have a new crush.
Yeah, of course.
Or you have a new, this is the guy the Warriors should really get with the taxpayer mid-level exception. Right now, currently for me, it is Aaron Baines. Just hearing you know, Steve Kerr and everyone talk about, especially given how the Lakers right now with their front court and their size and just how they are relentless on the offensive glass and how important it is for the Warriors to be able to match that physicality. Well, Aaron Baines is, man, he would give the Warriors the big body down low to be able to guard a Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be difficult for him to guard Anthony Davis out on the perimeter. That would be harder for sure.
But you have Draymond Green and you have Kevon Looney and those guys for that.
And Baines can space the floor.
Yeah.
This year he shot 35% from three on four attempts per game. And this is a guy who used to never shoot three. So it shows you that he has really added that and understands the importance of it. I actually think that he will be attainable at $6 million. He's finishing up a contract right now where he's making a little bit over five. And I actually was surprised to learn this. I mean, I did play against him in college, so it makes sense. But then I looked at it and I was like, he's going to be 34 years old in December.
Is he really?
He's not young.
For some reason, I felt like you were older than him and he was the young guy in college.
No, his senior year, the 2008-09 season, when Klay Thompson was a freshman at Washington State.
They only played 1 year together, right?
That would have been my senior year. It was my redshirt junior year. So I'm turning 34 in January. He's turning 34 in December. He's not young. So I don't think he's going to get the full mid-level exception of about $10 million, given the current state of the economics for teams. So I think that you've been saying a guy like him could come to the Warriors. There would be a role for him for sure. Yeah. I mean, he would play
maybe the starting center. Yeah.
He would be playing 20 minutes a night and would give the Warriors a dimension that they need. And now Steph Curry would need to sign off on this because of the whole
– Well, his hand. You literally have to sign off.
Correct. Well, it is his left hand, so he can sign
off. Yeah, but he's ambidextrous. Drew, would you feel comfortable with two Washington State guys making fun of you all the time though? Because Clay said that the scouting report against you was they all just said mouse in the house. They would just – the minute you were out there on defense, they would just destroy you. That's what he said.
Right, but there's tape out there.
Do you think Aaron would just kind of jump in with that?
Yeah, I mean, he would definitely have the advantage on the block. I'll give him that. You know, they might try to run a high ball screen, get me switched on to him and all of that. But Aaron Baines is the flavor of the week for me right now.
Yeah, he's an Aussie, and you know they're just cool. But just true.
You love Australia.
I absolutely love Australia. So yeah. Drew, the other thing I was thinking about is I know he also played for the Celtics, etc. But the way I look at it is like the Daniel Tice of the Celtics this season is that a guy who scraps and does what he needs to do, and maybe he's not the biggest name guy, but is a guy that is able to fill a role that is needed. And
yes,
did shoot some threes, but he's not really a great three-point shooter.
And it is interesting because the Celtics traded Aaron Baines to Phoenix.
Because they had Tice.
Well, they wanted to create the cap space to get Kemba Walker, but they had a feeling that Tice could be the center to play that role. So they had both of them. They get rid of Baines. The Phoenix Suns are not re-signing Aaron Baines. We know that financially they're going to probably look to trim costs.
Try to get rid of Kelly Oubre too, and that's why all Warriors fans are like, just remember.
He's high on the
– You're paying as the top dollar, and he's a free agent after the year. They probably want to look for something a little better that they have more control over time. But at the end of the day, Drew, you and I are going to be listing out more – free agents as time goes along. We'll have the draft coming up soon. There's going to be so many fun things to talk about. The finals are almost over. I'm not going to bet my life, but I bet pretty hard that the Lakers are going to win it on Friday. And
no, they're going to blow a 3-1 lead just like 2016, oh, yeah. LeBron's going to know what it feels like.
Yeah, for sure. So, and very soon after that, they'll start having the real discussions about what's next for the NBA. And so we'll start learning more as we go. And do you have any final thoughts or closing thoughts you want to give?
I hope that you allow me to come back onto the podcast at some point.
That's Karis. Have you?
Okay. Okay. But what grade would you give me?
Well, honestly, I gave you the closing remarks and you didn't say go vote or anything like that. So that automatically drops you down.
Hey, you already voted.
I did. I did. I'm just a big fan of everyone voting. I'm voting.
Did you submit your ballot in the mail or a Dropbox, or did you do early voting in person? Is that already available?
I mailed it. I sent it.
You mailed it. Okay.
Yeah. So
into the blue USPS.
No, mailbox. In my building we have a slot that you just put it.
Oh,
in.
Okay.
But I do love those mail, though they make me so nervous. I put it on the thing. I close it. I look three times.
To I know. Make sure. That's why I'm gonna put mine in the Dropbox.
Okay, you are.
Which is different than the blue USPS boxes you see around town.
Absolutely. Big thank you to Wendy's.
Great closing. Yeah.
Big thank you to Wendy's. Big thank you to Drew Schiller for joining us. If you don't follow him on Twitter, that's it. Good job. And you can follow this pod, listen, give us reviews, give us your thoughts, tweet at us. And
Five stars.
Five stars. It's out of five 10, stars. So... I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No.
Oh, man. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and I hope you have the most wonderful whatever day this is released.
Yeah, when is that happening?
I don't want to know.